a few years ago when I was working at a parish in St. Louis, I met a couple that were celebrating their 65th wedding anniversary. And I asked the old man, I said, what's the secret? 65 years, that's a long time. What's the secret? And he got this twinkle in his eye that my grandpa had the same thing when I knew he was being honorary. This man had a twinkle in his eye and he says, "Well, I learned a long time ago that I could be right or I could be happy." And the wife smiles and nods her head, yes. I mean, 65 years, I can't fathom that. That is, I mean, just looking forward to the future, imagining where I will be in 65 years, that just, it seems like such a, I mean, it's a lifetime away. But, I mean, to last 65 years, I mean, you can imagine the kind of give and take. I mean, that example, that the husband's response, I mean, it's comical, but it relates something deeper, a matter of compromise, a matter of give and take that this couple were able to experience throughout the course of 65 years, which I'm sure not all 65 years were all happy and wonderful, and there's probably times where they didn't want to see each other. But here they are, 65 years later, still in love, still celebrating the gift of life together. Brothers and sisters, this gospel today challenges us in many ways today. This gospel about Jesus' teaching of marriage and divorce. It's hard, and it's one of the more tricky subjects to tackle in the church today, because so many of our people are divorced and remarried, and there's so much confusion surrounding that. So much confusion about, you know, what does the church teach? What does the church say? And where do I stand in relation to the church? You know, I who've been divorced or whatever. So the first thing we kind of have to understand is the difference between divorce and annulment, the church's understanding of annulment. So in the case of divorce, it's the same thing with divorce and civil license. So when you go to get married, you apply for a civil license from the state, and the state writes up a contract between the husband and wife. And in the case of divorce, the state declares that that contract is void, that it's broken, it's no longer binding. But that's a very different understanding from what the church understands marriage to be. In the eyes of the church, marriage is a sacrament. It's binding. And as we heard Jesus reassert the teaching that we heard in our first reading from Genesis, that from the beginning, God made them male and female. And when they come together to form one flesh, it cannot be broken. It's not a matter of authority. The Pope simply does not have the authority to annul a marriage. If you look back to the case of King Henry VIII, the famous, you know, the case of he wanted an annulment, and the Pope said, "I do not have the authority to annul your marriage because it's valid. It's a true marriage." And so King Henry VIII in England broke off, and there was a lot of headache and heartache about that. But that was the key issue, the central issue. The Pope did not have the authority to annul a marriage that existed. So the difference between this civil marriage and the civil divorce and marriage in the eyes of the church is that when one is married, it's unbreakable. It's a bond that binds two souls together for the rest of their lives. But in the case of annulment, so what annulment is, unlike a divorce that says, okay, we can break this contract, annulment says, looks back at the beginning, looks back at the time of marriage and says, was there a legitimate expression, a legitimate exchange of vows? Was there a valid marriage to begin with? Was there something limiting one party or the other from truly expressing consent? Was there some sort of coercion that could have happened or pressure that they really, maybe they said I do, but what they meant by that was not truly an expression of true consent or true forsaking all others or so on and so on. So when the church looks at and annuls a marriage, it's not breaking any kind of a contract because she doesn't have the authority to do that. She looks back at the beginning, at the beginning of the marriage and says, from the beginning, it was null. That's what annulment means. So Pope Francis, he's recently changed the the laws surrounding annulment. And, I mean, the church has laws just the same as the civil government has laws. And there are canon lawyers just as there are civil lawyers. As a matter of fact, Father Yurok is himself a canon lawyer that he went through extra studies after ordination to be able to navigate church law as a lawyer. So what Pope Francis has recently done, and if you heard it in the news that, you know, it's everything Pope Francis says, depending on who you read, there's two completely different interpretations. But basically what he said was, in the annulment process, in the previous process, every single case would be reviewed by a canon lawyer, a team of canon lawyers at the diocesan level. So that would be like Father Yurok and others. But then every single case would also have a second set of canon lawyers that would go over it. So every case would be sent to Kansas City for us here in Wichita, and Kansas City would review it. And as you can imagine, that's a long process because each case takes, you know, quite a bit of time to evaluate and go through and do the background and so on and so on for each case. And so it was a long, drawn-out process. And any of you who have been through an annulment know what I'm talking about. It's kind of waiting in limbo for this, you know, how long is this going to take? And there is no guarantee that annulment process will go through because there are legitimate cases of marriage that, you know, that end in divorce, civil divorce, but the church doesn't have the authority to annul a marriage that truly exists. So that's kind of an understanding, kind of a background. And if you want a kind of a deeper understanding of the theology behind it, marriage as a sacrament. All right, so what does that mean? If we go back to, you know, the Baltimore Catechism, the definition of sacrament, an outward sign instituted by Christ to give grace, right? So that's classic Baltimore language. But what does that mean practically? What that means is that each of the sacraments were given to us by Jesus Christ, all seven of them, were given to us by Jesus Christ as a means of giving grace to the church. So each of the sacraments has a particular grace that it imparts to the soul. In the case of holy orders, there's what's called pastoral charity, a special type of charity, a special grace is given so that a priest can live out the vows of the promises of celibacy and be able to lead and govern well. And the same thing goes for the sacrament of marriage. That through that bond, that bringing together of a husband and wife, there is a real grace that is given so that they can live out the demands of the married life. So, that grace works like, it's like the attacks of the world, the attacks of the devil, the assaults are there constantly. And what that grace does, what that sacrament does, is it works like an umbrella for the couple in a world that's raining down acid rain constantly. That sacrament works like an umbrella to shield from the assaults and to give, like I said, give the couple the grace to actually live out what they're called to, because it's not easy to live in the married state. So what about those who are divorced and remarried? So that's a big issue, and that's part of what the synod coming up on marriage and family is going to address. There's a lot of confusion there. I've met many people who say, you know, Father, I'm excommunicated because I got divorced. I'm like, no, time out. Hold the phone. You're not, excommunication does not, divorce does not equal excommunication. But there's so much confusion around that. It's true, the church hates divorce. The church hates it because nobody likes it. It's not fun. It's so difficult for the children. It's difficult for the individuals. It's always ugly. And the church would see her children spared that kind of headache and heartache. But the reality is it happens. The reality is that's where we are in the world today. So the church certainly does not, divorce does not equal excommunication. But there are so many people who are in that state who have perhaps remarried that they realize that there's something amiss, and there is. They realize there's something amiss, and so they feel cut off from the church altogether. Well, you know, I'm done with that. I'm outside. That's it. Not at all. Now, it's true, we have the words of Christ here that we don't have the authority to just dismiss. A man who divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her, And she who divorces her husband and marries another commits adultery. We simply can't dismiss that, because the sacrament of marriage lasts a lifetime. But like I said, for those who have received the annulment, or for those who have divorced and have been remarried civilly but not through the church, you absolutely can go through the annulment process and be reconciled. You don't have to stay away. You don't have to be on the outside. And this, and you know, Pope Francis has made, like I said, through the process, kind of the review of this process of the annulment process, he's made it more simple and it'll much quicker now. But you know, it's been the standard of the church. It's just kind of been lost in the communication process. I mean, John Paul II, he wrote about, in 1994, he wrote about this exact topic, this exact question. And he said, the church welcomes those who are divorced. The church welcomes those who are in that situation of questioning, you know, something's not right, but how do I go about fixing it? We welcome them. We want them to be part of the church, because they are. Christ only has one body. We want them to be part, but again, the issue, as long as there's the issue of the annulment's not resolved, you know, we can't dismiss Christ's words here. The living together after a divorce is adultery, and we can't dismiss that. And so we withhold communion, right? But that doesn't mean that you're not involved or not welcome to participate in the parish, to participate in what's going on in the life of the church. And if you find yourself in that situation, if you find a brother or sister, relative, a friend, neighbor, coworker, I'm sure all of us know somebody who are in those circumstances. But they probably never heard that they're not excommunicated, that they can still come and be a part of the life of the church, and that their situation most of the time can be reconciled, can be rectified. There's no need to live outside. There's no need to live in isolation. The body of the church is one. Brothers and sisters, marriage is difficult. And like this couple, that 65 years, it takes sacrifice. It takes hard work. It takes compromise. But marriage is worth fighting for. Marriage is worth persevering in. It's not disposable. It's not like a paper plate that once you use it and it no longer is functioning, you just kind of toss it out. That promise before God is for life. For the rest of your life. It's a huge commitment. But we need to work on and pray for our marriages in the church. I mean, like I said before, the world is assaulting marriage today like we haven't seen. I don't know the last time in the history of the world that we've seen an attack on marriage like we have today. It's that acid rain effect that I was talking about. That's why the sacrament shields us. That's why it's so important to have the sacramental bond of marriage. So let's pray for our marriages. Let's pray for those who are struggling in marriage, those who are at that point where it's, you know, what do I do? I'm at a dead spot. Or those who are outside and have been remarried, how do I go about reconciling this? How do I go about coming back in union with the church? That's what we're called to. We are one body of Christ. One body. There's not this group and this group. One body of Christ. Let's pray for that we can have strong marriages. Through Jesus Christ, may it be so.